God's word puts it simple. Choose life or choose death. Here with more to begin our Wednesday edition of Chapter and Verse is our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
If you live according to the flesh, this is emphatic, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we're not a debtor to the flesh, and we owe it to ourselves, so we're in debt to ourselves, to realize that if we let the flesh and its appetites starve themselves out and let God's word transform you with the renewing of your mind, you're going to be a new person.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Chapter and Verse, where we're continuing our verse-by-verse study of Romans. In this two-day study, we're going to be looking at the fact that when we accept the Lord as our Savior, we have eternal life. However, now we have God's Spirit in us, and yet our flesh continues to try to follow its path. In the words of Jesus, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. Powerful life lessons are ahead with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. As God's children live by the Spirit will be our title, and Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 is our area of study today on CNV. So let's join Mike now for today's lesson.
We're in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, one of the great chapters of the Bible, to say the least. It is so full of promises and so full of blessings. We're going to approach it as if I'm the lawyer, and you're sitting in my office, you're all the family, and you've got an inheritance, and I'm going to read to you the last will and testament. And you get to see all the blessings that you get from your father. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans is a chapter of abundant blessings. It's one of the most freeing chapters for a Christian that I can think of. And just as an introduction, I wanted to just do a slight flyby and look at some of the thoughts. And yesterday, I was sitting out in the backyard, and I saw the birds along our fence and on the hillside behind us take off and come back to their feeders. And then they came back really quickly. I thought, that's strange. I looked around. There was nothing around in the sky. And then all of a sudden, they took off a second time, and just fast as lightning, this red-tailed hawk swooped down out of nowhere. But these little guys knew he was there. He was trying to get them. And came down to maybe 5 feet above the ground, came at a circle around me. His wings were at shoulder level. He went right towards the little guys that were remaining at the feeder and shot straight up and then went down into a valley. I said, man alive, that was kind of spooky that he would do that, you know. Well, we're going to do a slower flyby, and it's not going to be spooky because some of you haven't been here as we've taken our time going through Romans. It's a basic building block for churches and for Christians. And the basic walk in the Spirit is found here. So I'd like to just point out just how rich it was in our last several messages, just out of the 8th chapter. We looked at verse 1, no condemnation. What a thought that you and I have no condemnation if we're in Jesus Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No guilt. You don't need to walk around with guilt. If you've asked forgiveness, God has given you forgiveness. What a thought. No condemnation. And there are people that walk around town that are condemned. They condemn themselves because they know what this weekend that they did was wrong. But in Christ Jesus, we have the strength to keep away from that which is wrong and to make the right decisions, he teaches us. Second verse, he's made me free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm a free man. There's nothing binding. This world cannot do anything to me. And life after this life will be even better. I am not condemned, and God has every right to condemn me. But he says he loves me, and he's made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death says you sin, you die. The law of sin and death says that you are a creature that of habit that has a mindset to be carnal and fleshly, and you're headed towards death. That when you die, you die. But this verse told us that that law doesn't work with us, that we're in Christ Jesus, and he died for us, so we're going to live, and we're going to live greater. In the third verse, he told us God what God did by sending his own son, the present that he gave us. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. I have no condemnation, but sin has been condemned because of what Jesus did. The fourth verse, is he told us, who do not walk according to the flesh. And before we knew it, we didn't know that you could walk in the flesh or the spirit, that we had a choice. We just struggled, and it's religion that we hung on to for years, maybe. Or as children, we walked away from religion. And Jesus isn't religion. He's relationship. And in this relationship, the fourth verse says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So his own law has been stopped, that our spirits can grow and they can know the Lord Jesus. In the fifth verse, we saw that we have a mindset. It's our mind and we set it. And you're sitting here today with a mindset. You set your mind in concrete. And instead of being flexible and choosing the Lord's walk in the Spirit, the mindset is like having cement in your feet, that you're just going to be a carnal woman or a carnal man, always going after fleshly things. But here in the fifth verse, he said, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, what we can eat, what we can drink, what we're going to wear, all the things of the flesh and worrying about it. Set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, on the things of the Spirit. So now we realize that we can have a new mindset. And we were never taught this in schools, public schools. We were never trained on seminars of walking in the Spirit on a cable network or a TV channel. We were never encouraged to be spiritual people in this world around us. We are always encouraged to be carnal people going after the flesh. And then in the sixth verse, he told us to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So we should live life. The seventh verse, the highlight he gave us was because, and this is the reason you walk in the Spirit and be spiritually minded, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's hostile. The worldly mindset and the worldly mind is at war with God. That's why political correctness has swept all over our country, and people are using the silliest things to keep the things of God out of public view, because it's at hostility. It's in enmity against God. The carnal producers and directors and funders, they're against God in their minds. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can the carnal mind be subject to the law of God. And then we saw that in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot, absolutely cannot please God. And we were brought up and raised to please everyone. And when we got older and we moved out, we found out that we didn't please everyone. And this verse tells us that if we're in the flesh, we're very unpleasing to God. If we're a carnal-minded man or a carnal-minded woman, we are unpleasing to God. And actually, we cannot please him. But when we're spiritually minded, it's pleasing to our Father. So those are some of the highlights that we've gone over. And I would like to pick up our study this morning, if you'll look at there, verse 12. Would you please stand with me and we'll read verse 12 through 17 together. Okay? I'll start at verse 12. I'll do the even-numbered verses and you together in unison do the odd-numbered. You do 13 and 15 and 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit is a person, Himself. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
And the children and heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, and we may also glorify together.
And Lord, we now lay these verses before You, that the Holy Ghost could breathe upon them and bring them to life for us. We pray for everyone that is here that they could learn of what power they have in being your daughter or your son, and what power is here to protect them from the evil one and to lead them and guide them through every situation in their life. So, Father, we pray that You would block all distractions, cell phones, beepers, horns, anything. Just let us focus on You right now. And I pray, Father, that You would release some people that are bound up in their spirits because they just feel so guilty and condemned at their lifestyles. And yet You are saying here that once we surrender to You, we are not condemned. So we thank You, Father, that You've given us an advocate, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that in His name we can pray and lay our burdens at Your feet. And so now as we get these great blessings from heaven, please broaden our heart, widen it, deepen it, that we can be godly men and godly women, fearing nothing in this world, but honoring You in all ways. And we ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Therefore, brethren, I think I've already shared this three times in this study with you, but when you see the word therefore, you want to look for the wherefore. The wherefore is everything leading up to the therefore. It's telling you what's going on, and because of that, therefore, here's what's going to happen. So you always look for the wherefore when you see the therefore. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Now, debt is something that our country knows about big time. The national debt is getting so large, it's $524,000 that each one of us have had tacked on to our bill with Washington, D.C. the last 3 years. But we are not debtors to this flesh. We owe this flesh zip, nada, zilch, nothing. But in 40 years of counseling, I have found out that some people feel guilty about letting their old nature go. Let me explain that to you. They feel guilty because who they've been their whole life, they are now realizing by faith they have to let that go and let their identity no longer be in them, but be in Christ Jesus. And that's a step of faith. You have to let the old sinful nature go and then trust God. But if you're a person who says, I will do that, but you aren't a person that's feeding in the Scripture, you have no way to do it or learn it without His instruction. If you're not a person that's inclined to prayer, you will not get all the help that you can get. But if you are a person that's willing to get the most they can while here on earth to be a pleasing person to God, then naturally, once you surrender, you are a person that will love the Scripture and you will love prayer. Those two things especially. Because you can be on a desert island, as they say, and I've never seen an island in the desert, but you can be somewhere, there's nobody or anything, but if you have your Bible, you've got everything. is you can read and the Holy Spirit communicates through the Scriptures, and you can talk to heaven and heaven will respond to you. So we are debtors. But what are we a debtor to? Who do we owe? We're debtors not to the flesh. I owe nothing to this flesh except to keep it physically, mentally healthy. So, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't have to live according to the flesh. We can say no to things that we shouldn't do, and we absolutely know we shouldn't be doing. So it's just a matter of saying no and being strong. For if you live according to the flesh, this is emphatic, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we're not a debtor to the flesh, and we owe it to ourselves, so we're in debt to ourselves, to realize that if we let the flesh and its appetites starve themselves out and let God's word transform you with the renewing of your mind, you're going to be a new person. You will see lines differently. You'll see crowds differently. I remember one night in Cuba that we were in Havana, and there was some festival type thing going on, and we walked through this huge crowd, and there's a couple of things I noticed right off the bat. There were young women, 12, 13, 14, 15, and older men sitting together, holding hands, kissing, and that stuck out to me by the hundreds. And then the second thing was the glassy eyes and how many young men were either sniffing glue or something, whatever they can get there to make them stone, but in the hundreds. And when you see a society that's overrun with drugs, you see a society that has no hope. Drugs take away hope because the only hope you have is to have another fix, to get high again. And you want hope. We have no hope that is coming to us from our leadership. There's not one word of hope. If we do this, this will happen. But God always gives hope. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, on the other hand, this is what's going to happen. If you feed your flesh, you're going to die an eternal death. But if you feed your spirit, you're going to live an eternal life. God always gives hope. And when you take the word of God as a word of hope to you, then it starts unfolding in your life and you realize that the Lord will bless you. And he will do it over and over and over and over again. So I'm not in debt to my flesh. I don't owe anything to any addictions or anything that would be displeasing to God. I owe it to myself to get the best out of life, and the best out of life is to rescue myself out of the old life and let Jesus take charge. So, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. There's no bill that can be presented by the devil that they owe me this, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me and made me free, and the bill has been paid. For if you live according to the flesh, it is emphatic that you will die. You'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. Life and death. Now, this is exactly what was told to Moses and the children of Israel. Would you turn back to Deuteronomy with me for a moment to chapter 39, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and let's go to chapter 30, verse 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you. So what he's saying doesn't have to be a mystery, nor is it too far off. It's way beyond you. You don't understand. Everything he has to tell you is very simple, but profound. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into the heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. Would you read the last part of this with me? In your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. That's how close God's word is to you. It is in your mouth. You just spoke it just now. and it's in your heart. You don't have to do something for the organization to prove that you deserve salvation. And there are many cults and organizations that say to their members, you've got to do this. You must do this. For 2 years, you go here. And they direct people's lives. And God is the only one that should be directing our lives, not man or organization. So he makes it very clear in his blessings that the word of God, the commandment for them today, is not a mystery. And it's not as if you'd say, well, who can we send up to heaven to get this word of God and bring it down to us? Or it's not too far out of reach for you that you'd say, who can we get that's more spiritual than us that would go a long distance and bring us this word of God? It is not in heaven that you should say who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that you may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I've set before you today. That's for us too. This is before us. I've set before you today good life and good death and evil. It's your choice. Walk in the Spirit, you'll get death and evil. Get life. Well, that'd be horrible. You get life and good. But walk in the flesh, as Paul's saying in Romans, you're going to get death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, he says, so that you do not hear God's word anymore, and you are drawn away and you worship other gods and you serve them, then I announce to you this very day, the therefore, that you shall surely perish. See, he's not being a mean God of judgment. He's putting it all on you and me, in context, on the Israelites. You make the choices. God has laid it out for you. You can go this way where most of the people are going. It's a very broad way. Or you can go this way where a smaller group is going. It's a very narrow path. And it's sometimes off the beaten path, you think. Because when the rich man had the wedding feast for his son, he invited all of his rich buddies from the country club. And none of them would come. They had other things more important. So he got angry when his servants told him that. And he said, you go out into the highways, which is the broad way, and into the roads and the lanes, narrower, and the paths, now you're walking, and into the bushes. Go along any freeway in Southern California into the bushes and bring some homeless people. Go down and get the people that society has rejected off the narrow lanes and paths and bring them to my house. And when they did that, they said, here, Master, we brought so many, but still, this place is only half full. And he says, get to work, guys. So now he sets before us blessing. And he invites us to make the decision. Do we want to go to heaven? And if we do, it's not a bunch of things that you do. It's your faith that you live by. Somebody recently said to me, well, you're mad at me because I don't believe your religion. I said, no, I'm not mad at you because you don't believe my religion. I don't have a religion. I have faith in God. And I believe that he speaks to me through the word, through the scriptures, through the Bible. So I study to show myself approved, a workman unto God that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Before I was a minister, I just spent hours a day reading the Bible. I had a choice come to me one day. Either be a wealthy Christian businessman and give my money to the causes of the Lord, or be a minister and don't think about anything. Let God give it to you. And I took be the minister. Now, from that place, I had a whole different set of opportunities. From the other way, I would have had other opportunities. But I would have got lost over here because I would have wanted to take some of that money and comfort myself.
We'll look forward to more practical instruction in our study of Romans chapter 8 on the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse. If you feel that a review of this lesson would be helpful to yourself, or maybe you have a friend that could benefit from listening to this series from Pastor Mike, here's an easy way that you can listen to this study in its entirety, unedited for radio broadcast. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com, and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only a complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Now we invite you to join us Thursday here on this station for more in the book of Romans. At that time, we'll present part two of the teaching, As God's Children Live by the Spirit. Chapter and verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.